flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dan Orlovsky, yesterday on First Take. My instinct is to mock him, but I wonder if he's got a point there. Some of the better.
I've heard that.
I mean,
so
I said my instinct was to mock him. That probably is the right.
So I get what he's saying. Yeah. And we were talking about the teams that are left in the playoffs and how even some of the really good offenses do have defensive minded head coaches, but they have really good offensive coordinators and these quarterbacks have worked out. But he kind of talks himself into circles there because he's saying, we haven't really seen any evidence of it. Then he gives us three examples.
Yeah.
Or four examples.
McDaniels and Tua. Who was the other one he gave?
Burrow made a Super Bowl with Zach Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah.
Tua, I know Mike McDaniel doesn't have a lot of playoff success, but they made the playoffs twice, and Tua looked terrible under Brian Flores and looks great with Mike McDaniel. So you can question whether Mike McDaniel's a great head coach, but you can't question that he's gotten the most out of Tua.
No, I
Tua
think that's
fair. Great.
I think that's fair.
And McVay obviously getting Jared Goff all the way to a Super Bowl after Jared Goff looked horrible with Jeff Fisher. So that's the beauty of it. There's 32 teams. There's examples all over the place. You can find offensive-minded head coaches that succeed, defensive-minded head coaches that succeed.
But we are both of the same mind, Shimas of this mind, where you want to bring in the offensive schemer.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody who's going to be married to your young quarterback. And there are a lot of examples of these defensive coaches making it work with young quarterbacks. So,
but I also think they...
I wonder if I'm too far in that direction, just maybe, listening to Orlovsky, and we've talked about that before with some of these young QBs.
Well, that's why I'm fine with Mike Vrabel as the head coach.
Yeah, but I'm only fine with it, too. Some people really love it. I wonder if I should love it more than I do based on
that. How about
that?
This? I'm good with it. I'm good with it. No, like, I wanted Ben Johnson, but that ship has sailed. They got Mike Vrabel, and I think you can do it this way. I wouldn't have wanted Dan Quinn. But then when you say, hey, Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator, and we're going to draft Jaden Daniels, and we're going to, you know, get some veterans in here, and whoa, all of a sudden, you got something going. But I don't think it's insignificant to look at Cliff Kingsbury or Brian Daboll. I'm sure Sean McDermott talks to Josh McDaniels, but doesn't Brian Daboll get a significant amount of the credit for making him the quarterback that he is today?
Yep.
I'm sure Josh Allen would say the same thing. You know, Patrick Mahomes, sort of a different case study. Andy Reid was very well established at that point, but he's an offensive coach, and he's got the best player in the NFL. So I think there are a lot of ways to get it done. One way that we can't, not to keep piling on this, but the Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt was not the way to do it.
Yeah.
That was very clearly not the way to do it.
First time GM, first time head coach, basically a first time play caller, first time defensive coordinator, first time guys all over your staff, first time special teams coordinator who we liked. Like, that's not the way to, I think that it's safe to say that's not the way to build.
Nope, that was not the way to do it.
Especially with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, right, exactly. So this has a better chance of working. I personally, and maybe a lot of people around here don't view it this way, Cliff Kingsbury to me is more of that QB whisperer and has more evidence of it, college and pro, of working with these great quarterbacks and getting a lot out of the quarterbacks. But as a head coach, he's kind of similar to better than McDaniels. Kingsbury made the playoffs, but his college tenure, he was like 500. His pro tenure is like never really good enough. He's more offensive-minded guy, but that's sort of McDaniels. Even if you kind of take the head coaching part out of it, maybe you have a better chance of making it work than some of these other guys.
So you can jump in here, 617-779-7937. The setup, where you're getting an experienced offensive coordinator with a defensive-minded head coach for your young quarterback. How do you feel about that setup? Orlovsky thinks there's some merit to it. He's talking about Ben Johnson and worries about Caleb Williams in Chicago. Is there merit to that? And has that been a more successful combination then at least I have given it credit for? You can jump in again, 617-779-7937. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up. I call it 25 minutes from now. We'll also do some Celtics talk with Terp
High
noon, as we do every Celtics Wednesday. Sees blowing out the Warriors. They've made some adjustments to their rotation. Jaylen Brown doesn't sound the happiest.
No.
So we'll get to all that with Terp coming up again at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. Two texts, and then I want to grade the offseason.
Hit me.
Again, idiots.
Oh.
You two clowns make no mention of the rest of the offensive roster Josh McDaniels was working with all those so-called failures. O'Brien was overrated, blah, blah, blah. So he gets into an O'Brien tangent there. Did McDaniels not have talent with the Raiders?
No, they had talent. They had, like, the leading rusher in the league. They had, I think Derek Carr is at least middle of the pack.
Yeah, he's not
great.
No, but he was better than, you know, like Mack and things like that. Yeah.
So, and they had Davante Adams.
Okay. The Raiders
like the best receiver in the league?
The Raiders were a playoff team the year before McDaniels got there.
Uh-huh.
They stunk McDaniels' first year. They got worse his second year. He got fired. They won five games with Antonio Pierce down the stretch. Now, they're bad again this year. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the Raiders didn't have offensive talent. And even a guy like Max Crosby.
The second
on the other
leading
side of the
receiver
ball.
On that team was Mack Hollins.
Davante Adams had
1,500 yards. Mack Hollins was the second leading receiver.
Yeah, I just wouldn't say the Raiders had no talent. But they were a playoff team the year before he got there.
They had the league's leading rusher. And they had an all-pro running back and a first-team all-pro wide receiver and then a middle-of-the-pack quarterback.
They won 10 games before he got there. So, they had talent. Same thing in Denver. They were 8-8 with Mike Shanahan. I forgot that McDaniels replaced Shanahan in Denver. I thought there was
a gap in there.
It was. So he replaced Shanahan, 8-8 team. He was 8-8 his first year in Denver. Again, got fired in year two.
Well, not only was he 8-8, he was, I think, 8-0. Remember, and he beat Belichick.
I want to say it was at least like 5 or 6-0, something like that. Yeah, he had a hot start, and then they tailed off.
A real hot start. Wait, let me find what that was, because that was like, it looked like, wow, this guy's going to be a real hit, and then he was not, and then he didn't even survive the second season.
I want to say he was 5 or 6-0, and yeah, maybe like 7-1. It was a crazy start.
6-0, and then they were
6-0.
8-8 to end the season.
Okay, wow. Not great.
Wow.
And the offense got a lot worse with McDaniels there than the year prior with Shanahan. They dropped off by 50, 60, 70 points.
And then
Tebow, like
they were in the divisional round the next year. After he left, they made the playoffs 5 straight years.
The Rams team he inherited or took over as offensive coordinator in 2011 probably didn't have a ton of talent. But again, Bradford was better the year before and better the year after. So what's the commonality there? I think when you look at the situation around McDaniels, everywhere he went, he made it worse.
How many coaches have ever had 3 stints with one place? Like, it's pretty alarming that you're, like, just bringing them right back.
Do you think I make too much of that nobody else would hire this guy? I mean, I don't even know it's true. I haven't heard anything about him interviewing anywhere. There's a bunch of organizations, you know, wouldn't even think about looking his way. A lot of the Bill guys have filtered out of the league. And so, do you think that's a fair way to look at it, that McDaniels is unhirable for most of the other 31 organizations?
I don't look at it too. I don't think that's the most significant thing. I think you're right. You know, he's never going to be a head coach again. I don't think you get 3 cracks at being a head coach, especially when there's nothing to really like hang your hat on the first 2 stints.
You couldn't even make it through 2 years in either spot.
No, so that's not happening. Plus hey, I'm not going to the Colts after telling the Colts you were going to go to the Colts. I think some teams would have to hold that against him. But he's had so much success with New England that, I don't know, maybe they look at him sort of like a New England guy. Because I like Mike Vrabel as a head coach. Nobody wanted him last year. You know, like nobody picked him up last year. And I still think he's one of the better coaches in the league. So you never know. There's weird stuff with weird cycles.
Did he at least interview? He at least interviewed.
I think he did.
I believe he interviewed with the Chargers last year.
Yeah, no, there's less of a demand for Josh McDaniels. But, yeah, maybe it's like his connections around the league. And it seems like a lot of teams are more willing to go with, all right, who is the pass game coordinator for Kyle Shanahan than they are, let's grab Josh McDaniels.
I mean, I would feel strongly about that over McDaniels.
Yeah.
There's also this, he wasn't able to develop Stidham, is like saying he wasn't able to develop Curtis Painter. Some dudes are just ass. Maybe. He likes Stidham. He brought Stidham with him to the Raiders. So
yeah, but
Stidham.
But this is your point. If Mac Jones sucks, and we all think that he does, and he gets credit for getting something good out of Mac Jones, how come he wasn't able to get something good out of Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Kyle Orton?
Yeah, great.
Like all these
guys. He got something out of the 15th pick. Like I'm supposed to think that's a crazy, crazy check mark for him.
Yeah.
Like, I'd also say this, 2020 was a huge year. That was passing the torch on from Tom Brady, and they failed that test miserably. They had a quarterback on the roster they liked. They were going to give the job to. It didn't work out. They had to bring in Cam Newton at the 11th hour, and he got nothing out of him.
I think Belichick kind of set him up to fail a little bit. I mean, they waited the last minute. They're like, hey, here's your guy. Here's Cam Newton. They could have drafted Jordan Love. They could have drafted Jalen Hurts. They could have done something better.
Was that the Lamar year or was that the year prior?
No, Lamar was 18.
Was 18.
Brady was on the team for Lamar, so that's kind of a tough.
You could have drafted Lamar, though, and supposedly McDaniels wanted him. So you're right. They could have left him in a better spot. Yeah.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And maybe Stidham does just suck, but Max sucked. And he got more out of Mac. So if that's the idea, fine. All I'm saying is I hear way too much about the Mac year and not enough about the Cam year.
What's your prediction where they finish this year, just points per game?
15?
Yeah, middle.
Yeah.
I think the expectation should be about middle. We don't know who their receivers are yet. We don't know any of that stuff. But just Drake May, Josh McDaniels.
It better not be worse than middle of the pack.
Yeah.
16.
16. Right smack dab in the middle. Can they be the 16th best offense this year?
Do you think they can do it? 617-779-7937. There's also this text. I refuse to grade them until free agency is wrapped.
All right, we'll wait.
Not doing it. We're grading them right now.
No, sit and wait.
Let's grade the Patriots offseason to this point.
Yeah.
It's basically grading the coaching staff, the coordinators, what they've done to this point in time. You guys can jump in on this with your grades as well. Elliot Wolf's still here. Hiring Ryan Cowden, I guess, is another element to all of this. Keith, how would you grade their offseason to this point?
Oh boy, I'm going to go with a B- for this. I like Mike Vrabel. I don't think, again, it's the most imaginative plan going, but I like Mike Vrabel. I think he's going to be a good face of the franchise and a good professional coach in the locker room. I think he's going to fix a lot of the issues that they had. Guy commands a room, all that. So the Mike Vrabel hire is better than a B-, but when you're grading it all together, Josh McDaniels just seems very unimaginative. Just like, oh, that's the guy that we had before. Let's just bring him back once again. It was the obvious move. They end up going with it. Jury's still out on how good it's going to be. So that weighs it down a little bit. Terrell Williams, I'm actually kind of intrigued by.
I think
he worked well with Vrabel in the past. This year he was in Detroit working with the D-line. That even with all their injuries, they were really good. He was also their defensive run game coordinator for whatever role that means. And they were good against the run. And just a lot of experience. Like, this isn't a bunch of, 28, 30-year-old guys running around. You have real adult dudes on the team now, and they're bringing back Spring Dog. I like Jeremy Springer. So the McDaniels hire, just kind of more of an eye roll to me, brings it down. But B- is nothing to sneeze at.
What's Vrabel on his own? If you're just going to grade Vrabel. Okay. So I think you start at a higher point than me. I think Vrabel is a good, solid hire. Say you start at a B.
Okay.
With Mike Vrabel. That's what I would say. It's good. It's not great. It's not a grand slam, but it's a good, solid hire where you have, again, somebody who's done the job before, someone who's not going to be surprised. As you said, he was 6 years in Tennessee, some good years, some bad years, went to an AFC title game in there. Nothing about the job should surprise him. So to me, that's a good, solid B hire. I don't love the McDaniels hire, so that brings it down a notch. I don't like that Elliot Wolf is still here.
I should add that, too. That helps lower mine.
So, and I know it gets explained away. Well, Vrabel's here and Vrabel's calling the shots. Maybe.
You still got the Jalen Polk guy here.
McDaniels doesn't feel like a Vrabel hire and Vrabel calling the shots. So hiring McDaniels makes me think all over again that Elliot Wolf is here and he's here for a reason. And he's going to have a bigger say than any of us want to let on. Maybe Vrabel wins tiebreakers early on. But you keep reading about how Robert Kraft loves what Elliot Wolf implemented with the scouting. And Elliot Wolf is somebody who they believe in and has a strong track record from Cleveland and Green Bay and blah, blah, blah. So I'd say both of those things bring it down to a C+, maybe a C. Like, it's a good, solid offseason. It's not a disaster. It's not terrible. I think people hear C or C+, and they go, oh, you think this is a terrible offseason. No, no, no. F is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, D- would be a borderline disaster. It's good. It's a good, solid offseason. C is a good, solid grade. C's get degrees, Keith.
C's get degrees,
it's
no doubt.
It's a good, solid grade.
Not bad.
It's a good, solid offseason, but I'd knock him down for Wolf still being here. I'd knock him down for McDaniels. I'd knock him down for a complete and total lack of creativity. And let's see what players they get in here. The texter's right when they say, we don't know. The team is nothing and coaches are nothing without their players, et cetera, et cetera. I agree with that. So we can regrade it later on in the offseason, but right now it's all we can go off of. The coaching staff, the vision, the personnel guys. How do we feel about all of it? It's fine. It's right in the middle. I like Vrabel the most out of all the moves they've made. Maybe that move by itself is a B, but overall, C. Right down the middle, not creative, not imaginative. They should be a good, solid NFL team. But what are we talking about? 8-9 wins next year? If I had to guess,
I'm telling you, they got a bad schedule or a good schedule, and you know they're playing a ton of these bottom teams, and there's still the draft, there's still free agency, there's still potential trade. So some of these rosters might look a lot different. Some teams probably going to spend like crazy. Maybe it's a team that you got on your schedule. So that could all change. But no, this year. So the year before, I think Robert Kraft was expecting the Bill Belichick, Mac Jones being out, and any other quarterback in Gerard Mayo being in was going to be this huge improvement, and it wasn't. It was actually worse.
I subscribe to that theory, and that was wrong.
It was wrong. Now, the quarterback was better, and the quarterback play was better by the time you got the guy in there, but the coach was certainly much worse. So now you're not talking about Belichick and Mac Jones anymore. You're talking about replacing Gerard Mayo and going to Mike Vrabel. So like that alone should be a step up. Even Josh McDaniels, neither you nor I's favorite hire. But compared to Alex Van Pelt and his kind of lack of play calling experience, I'll take McDaniels. So I think right there on paper, you're already better. Factor in year two, Drake May should be better. No guarantee. Plenty of examples of guys that weren't as good their second year.
Mayfield, but, Stroud, Mack.
Oh, yeah. Sam Bradford. Like there's plenty of guys, but some do take a little bit of a leap as well. And you give him a full year, maybe give him a few better players around him. I think the expectation for this team this year, I think playoffs is way too much, but I think 500 and playing meaningful games in December is certainly reasonable.
8-9 wins.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, well, how can you do that before you know the roster? Well, you can't.
No, but just the nature of the NFL.
I expect them to get a wide receiver. You know, is it T. Higgins? Is it Cooper Kupp? Is it DK Metcalf? Is it A.J. Brown? Like, I'm not telling you I know the guy.
Yeah.
And I'll feel differently about that, and I can adjust based on it. But I feel good they're going to get a wide receiver, a name.
Jacoby Myers.
Wide receiver.
Bring them back. Bring back everybody.
I feel good they're going to sign a couple of people in free agency. Yeah. And it's not just going to be bring back all the scrubs from, you know, the team 2 years ago. Bring back all the Bill guys. New coach, new quarterback. All of it's going to change. I feel good they're going to... I'm factoring in that I expect them to sign a couple of guys. If they don't, I'll relook at it. If they blow out the budget like they did in 2021, maybe I'll adjust them up. But I expect 8 or 9 wins, and I don't think this is flip-flopping, text line. I love how you flip-flop Jones on Vrabel. He's a good hire, but I believe last season you wanted nothing to do with him. Well, I think he's safe. I think it is a high floor. You are not going to strike out with Mike Vrabel, don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think you're going to have a Mayo-type season with Vrabel, which to me makes it a good, solid hire. But it's high floor. I don't know what the ceiling is with Vrabel. Even the year he went to the AFC title game, that team won 9 games.
I mean, the reality is so much of this is going to come down to Drake May specifically. And not to like oversimplify things, but Josh McDaniels, we're going through all the quarterbacks that he worked with, not named Tom Brady, and most of them are crap. Mike Vrabel, his whole time in Tennessee, crap quarterbacks. You know, Ryan Tannehill kind of burned hot there for a minute, looked like he was all right. Hmm. But at the end of the day, like, how good was Ryan Tannehill really, or Marcus Mariota really? So Vrabel and McDaniels, with the aid of what could be like this top 5, top 10 at minimum quarterback, maybe he makes those guys look a lot better. Right? Like, if Brady's the one getting all the credit, or if Brady's the one that's most responsible for McDaniels and Belichick's success, can't we say the same thing about Drake May? Like, maybe Drake May kind of puts those guys on his back. Like, no, those guys have to help him. They have to help develop him. They got to put the right pieces around him, you know, maximize his strengths and all of that. But if he ends up being a stud, well, then those two guys are going to look like they're great.
Oh, they're going to look like geniuses. Yeah. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't rule out McDaniels getting a third job if he really knocks it out of the park with Drake May. You don't think so? Drake May can't even save Josh McDaniels.
I don't think so. And I wonder if he's just to the point where he's like, all right, I'm a coordinator. I can make a lot of money as a coordinator. I can be a good coordinator. And what's the shame in that? Because I don't think an NFL team will give it to him. Because really, three teams have actually given him a chance.
I don't know.
He bailed on one and then failed in the other two.
Yeah.
He's not getting another one.
You know what I forgot about? We should have given credit to the scoop of Josh McDaniels, the actual hire.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of controversy about who to credit for that scoop.
People are hot about it.
We should have get who was our caller who said he drives past McDaniels' house every day and there's a lot of activity on the front yard.
Yeah, he had
I don't know
that.
What you just said that triggered that in my head, but something.
No, he was good. Yeah, he knew all about it.
I think we had breaking news right under our noses.
What's going on? So listen, I think I might have some little information. It could be something. It could be not. So I can't disclose. I can't disclose where I'm at, but I happen
Who's
to drive.
Who's your source, Joey? You gotta say your source, or it doesn't count.
I happen to drive. Listen. I happen to drive by Josh's house every day. Okay.
Now, for the past
2 years, I haven't seen any activity. But for the past 2 years, I haven't seen anything. But the past 10 days, I've seen him out in the morning in his front yard doing things. Now I don't know if that's something.
<It's like> 10- doing
things. So he's out there, and he was right.
Joey knew. What's the date on that?
That was last Thursday, I believe.
Breaking news right in our face. We didn't even know.
I was on. Yeah,
he was so wanted. I believe he gave whoever call screened him that day a fake name and a fake location because he didn't want people to know who it was.
Wow,
nice. Maybe it was Josh McDaniels.
Could have been Josh McDaniels calling in with a fake voice.
I can't believe we didn't run with that.
He was on it.
What's wrong with us?
Yeah, it's on us.
617.
Next time, Joey, we'll believe you.
7.
Whatever your real name is.
Yeah, Joey, wherever you are. We'll believe you next time. Keith grades the offseason, really the coaching staff to this point, a B minus. I'll give it a C. Like it's solid. It's not a disaster. Mayo was a disaster. It's not that, but I don't know that there's much of a high ceiling there. So you can grade the Patriots offseason. Again, it's 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Celtics at high noon with Terp on a Celtics Wednesday. All your thoughts on what's going on with the C's? What's wrong with the Celtics? Is there an issue with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Plus, it's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Laney.